Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
I like New York right now. How about you?
The ice and snow and how about you?
The frozen pit bull pee on Fifth Avenue.
I like it when the whips,
it gives me perky nips.
How about you?
Hello everyone and welcome to a live edition of Come to Papa. Give him a warm welcome to your host. His head is so big, it'll be floating around the Super Bowl, Tom Papa.
Hot cocoa spiked with rum, can't get my fill.
My gonads just went numb from Sub-Zero chill.
Frozen hands, hypothermia, acute hypothermia.
Might turn us blue, but I like it. How about? I like it. How about?
Olivia Vessel and Rick Chrome, everybody. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the big show. I'm Tom Papa, and thank all of you for listening out there in Radioland, and thank all of you beautiful people who came out to join us in our live audience at the Village Underground in New York City. New York, where you know it's winter because the entire city is communicating by coughing. It's like listening to whales with sinus problems. And now please say hello to the best announcer in the business, the talented Rick Chrome, everybody. Rick Chrome!
Thank you. Wow! Thanks, Tommy. Tonight's show is brought to you by Bob's Moving Company for Idiots. Do you suffer from seasonal depression? Are you bummed out because you live in a place with no sun? Are you sick and tired of everything being wet, cold, or frozen? Then call Bob's Moving Company for Idiots. And move. Pick a place where people are happy and tan and live there. All you have to do is pack your shit up. We'll stick it in a van and drive it somewhere else. Bob's Moving Company for Idiots. Seriously, get the fuck out of there.
Rick Chrome, everybody. Rick Chrome. Now please welcome our band, who are so high they never feel cold, Elio Alves and the Come to Papa Trio. So here we are in the middle of January. The holidays are behind us, and we are renewed, rejuvenated, ready to take on the world. Or more likely, we're just trying to hang on and not kill ourselves. Trying our best to get through the cold, hard, unforgiving winter. This is a very conflicting time of year when the advertisers are telling you to get in shape for the new year and Mother Nature is telling you to pack on as much blubber as you can. Well, Mother Nature's right. And not just because you need to grow love handles to have something to cuddle with, but you also need to take care of yourself mentally. Winter is trying to beat you. It's dark. It's cold. It wants you to quit. It wants you to stay inside under a quilt of depression. This is not a time to stop eating the things you love. This is not a time to quit drinking. This is not a time to spend your free time doing crunches. This is a time to dial in on what makes you happy and hang on for dear life. You like nachos with extra nachos? Eat them. You want a handful of pot gummies that your brother-in-law gave you in the garage over Christmas? Gobble them up. Winter will not win. Tonight, we're here in New York City, a tough, hard place that now feels like one giant frozen block of ice, standing in the doorway of your apartment, trying to keep you inside. And look at these good people. They kicked it in its nuts and came out to a live show. Good for you. These are not just comedy fans. They're winter warriors. Brave men and women from Australia. By the way of Houston. And the Gold Ring District of Brooklyn. These people know that salvation is found in the Village Underground, a nightclub in the ass end of the village that demands you have a 2-drink minimum. We thank you all for coming, and we're going to have a great night. And now, please welcome our first antidepressant of the night, a good friend of mine. I love him so much. Let's hear it for the first comedian of the night, John Fish, everybody. John Fish.
Tom Papa, everybody, come on. We went from big head to tiny head. I know, I have a tiny head, but you don't notice until I tell you, and then you're like, that's what we'll focus on for the next 8 minutes. Nice to see you all. If you are visiting, welcome to New York City, where chances are you're in the way. I mean, don't worry, we all are. Even when I'm alone in my apartment, I feel like somebody out there is like, I want that apartment. I've been living here for 17 years. Yeah. I think I'm done. I only have one favorite thing left about New York City, and that is that we all pretend that it's okay to live this way. Oh, $240 for a parking ticket? I guess that's reasonable. 109 degrees on the subway platform in the summer? Let's do some Bikram. I saw somebody crying on the subway. Whenever I see somebody crying in New York City, I just think, why aren't more people crying? It's a hard place to live. I feel like gay people have to come out sooner in New York City just because we have less closet space. It's a trigger word. But apparently, I have a very non-threatening vibe. Everyone's always asking me for directions or to put shit in the overhead bin. Like, I feel like if I was alone in a room with a bunch of cocaine and somebody walked in, they'd just be like, do you know who left this here? And it's not because I'm getting older. It's always been that way. I am starting to feel the age, though. This was really the year. 45. Had a it's not going well, but thank you. I had a sciatic nerve episode this year. I know, sounds athletic. Happened from sitting in the same position in a car for like 5 hours, and I had to buy a heating pad, which is for old people, as I knew, and 12-year-old girls, as I did not know. Did not grow up with sisters. Now Amazon's like messing with me every week with their email suggestions. They're like, oh, maybe you would also like a rocking chair for your final days. No, perhaps a spiral owl notebook. Look, I know I'm not old, but I feel like I might be too old to do some of the things that I wanted to do. Does that make sense? Like, I used to want to have kids. Now I want to have a kid. But I might have missed that. I don't know, 45, no girlfriend, no prospect. I know people are like, guys can have a kid whenever. And I'm like, I know I can have a kid, but I'd like to be able to pick the child up at some point. I don't want my kid's first word to me to be, Grandpa? Where's Papa? I have all these friends, though. They're not quite ready to have a kid, but they want to eventually, so they get a dog to practice. They treat it like a baby. They call it their baby. This is our baby. And then they have a real baby, and they're just like, when's this dog gonna die? I don't go out late anymore. I don't think I'm supposed to. Right? Who's in their 20s and 30s here? All right. Good amount, yeah. I feel like if you're in your 20s and your 30s and you stay out late, people are impressed. If you're in your 40s or your 50s and you stay out late, people are suspicious. I feel like people are looking at me like, what's that guy still doing here? Must have lost his job today. It's fun when you're younger to go out. It's exciting. You don't know what's going to happen. That's part of the fun. You're like, who am I going to meet? Where am I going to end up? Now I need to know exactly where I'm going. It helps to know what time I'm going to be home. I don't want to meet anybody. I'm actually working on a system to unmeet some of the people that I do know. It's going to be an app. I don't go to strip clubs anymore because I don't like when other people take off my glasses. It's my best joke. I don't know why I put it in the middle. I don't know. Life tames out on you. It happens to everybody. It was just a weird moment when I realized it was happening to me. Like, I travel a lot, and I have this little zipper pocket in my luggage that I used to throw condoms into. You never know. I'm a person. But I opened it recently, and it's just tea. Just an assortment of my favorite teas. Thank you for asking. There is Earl Grey. Throat Coat, because I'm a performer. And peppermint for my tummy, because I'm a Jew. If there's a condom in there, it's by accident. And at some point, I am going to ruin a perfectly good cup of hot water. Just changes your whole mindset, too. You know, people ask you that question, like, hey, man, you getting lucky tonight? I'm like, if I got chamomile. What I drink. No more booze for me. Can't handle it. I can have like one glass of wine. After that, it does not mix with a Zoloft. It's not good for dating. There's no non-drinking dating activities. I try to come up with ideas. It all sounds like I'm trying to babysit the person. Want to get some ice cream? No? How about a bike ride? Too cold? Hot cocoa? My buddy was like, what about the museum? I'm like, ooh, that's what I want to do on date one. Reveal how dumb I am.
I like the painting. What do you think of the painting?
Oh, it's a photograph. Okay. It's a different kind of painting. But I had a date with a girl from Bumble. Who's the Bumble people? You guys? Yeah, I had a Bumble date, and we met at a wine bar restaurant, and I told her I can't really drink. My plan was, like, to nurse one glass of wine. She showed up with red wine mouth. I don't know how many that is exactly, but it felt like we started at 30 love. In the first 10 minutes, she told me I look like her ex-boyfriend. Then she started telling me why I was wrong for drinking white wine instead of red wine, and I was like, if you have a mirror, I'll show you why I'm right. Then she started complaining about dating in New York City. I'm like, you're on a date in New York City. This is a weird time to do this. Plus, I've known you for 18 minutes, and I'm pretty sure it's not New York City's fault. But this was the best, all right? At one point, she got up from our table to tell someone at another table to be quiet. I was half impressed. That takes balls. Think about that. She was being annoying at my table, and I didn't say anything. They thought she worked there. And then she sat back down with me. I was like, just as surprised as you guys. I have no idea what's going to happen next. Let's all watch. But I was still on board because she was cute. That's the problem with the man brain, right? I'm like, maybe she'll even out after 9 glasses of wine. But then I swear to God, she told me she got kicked out of the Comedy Cellar for heckling one time. I was like, we're done here. That's too close to home. She was like, I was offended, and I felt like I had to say something. And I was like, you didn't. Like, I realize people are getting offended very easily at comedy shows these days, but it's a comedy show. Just laugh or don't laugh. If you get offended, I don't know, maybe go write in your journal later is a better idea. But this is my favorite. She goes, I was offended and I felt like I had to say something for everyone. And I was like, you don't know everyone was offended. How rude and selfish is that? Like, she just ruined everybody's night. I can just picture it. And I feel like I'm much angrier about this than you guys are. Let me explain it with one of those stand-up comedy analogies. I don't like onions, okay? If I'm at a dinner party, I've never been to a dinner party. But if I'm at a dinner party and the meal had onions in it, I would eat around the onions. I wouldn't flip the whole fucking table over and start mashing food out of people's mouths. Right? Maybe I'd lock eyes with someone else I noticed wasn't eating onions. I'd be like, onions, right, buddy? This is ridiculous. So many onions. We don't need this. This isn't right. And my hope would be that enough of us wouldn't eat the onions, and then later when the host was cleaning up, they'd be like, oh my God, not a lot of people like onions. Maybe next time I won't use so many onions. But I wouldn't say anything during the meal, because that would be rude and insensitive, and I know that the host probably worked very hard, put a lot of time and energy into making that meal funny. I mixed the analogies, but you know what I'm saying. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
John Fish, everybody, John Fish.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Are you looking to get away this winter? Do you have dreams about escaping to a tropical island but are a little short on money? Then you need Donnie's all-inclusive Staten Island getaway.
Yeah, why not? I mean, technically it is an island. There's water on all sides and 12 miles of sandy beaches. I mean, it's not really sand. It's more like broken bottles and shit. But if you squint your eyes, the rats look like crabs.
Donnie's all-inclusive Staten Island getaway.
I mean, you can get real crabs here, too, but then you're going to have to sleep with my cousin Donna. You see what I did there? You thought I was talking about real crabs that you eat, and then I switched and made it about the crabs you get from sleeping with my scuzzy cousin. Staten Island's the best. But seriously, she's loaded with them. But she's not bad looking. If you squint your eyes, you'll think you're actually sleeping with Rosie O'Donnell.
Do you like activities on your vacation? Then sign up for an island tour on Donnie's all-inclusive Staten Island getaway.
Oh, that's right. You're going to love this tour. All right, we start off at Dan's Bowling Alley, where they have $1 breakfast beers. That goes till 11. Yeah. Then we'll drive you over to the Starlight Lounge so you can take in the exotic, underpaid lunchtime strippers, one of which is my cousin Donna. Then we'll make a quick stop at my friend Greer's apartment. He's got great weed, and he has a Haitian accent, so if you squint your eyes, you'll think you're in Jamaica.
Donnie's all-inclusive Staten Island getaway. Come meet the locals and enjoy some home-cooked cuisine.
Oh, yeah. My mom makes a killer mac and cheese. But you got to get there before 3, because she starts drinking when she wakes up, and by 3, it gets really weird. She's either going to pass out or get really pissed and violent. Trust me, you don't want to see that, especially if she's wearing that robe that doesn't stay closed all the time. But seriously, her mac and cheese is kick-ass.
Donnie's all-inclusive Staten Island getaway. A real vacation is just a quick ride over the bridge.
Yeah, you know, if you squint your eyes when you're going over the bridge, you think you're on Space Mountain, especially if you're on Molly. Hey, did I mention we have a shooting range? Well, not exactly a range. We drive around and shoot traffic lights from my van. It's fun. Bring some cash. Make sure you bring cash.
Donnie's all-inclusive Staten Island getaway. Enjoy, but don't get shot.
I want to bring Olivia back up on stage. This is one of my favorite songs. There's a certain thing about this time of year where I really feel like music is powerful. And it just makes you warm inside. And this song is called Fly Me to the Moon, which was originally entitled In Other Words. It was written in 1954 by Bart Holland. I love it. And these two know how to sing, so I'm going to go sit over there. Enjoy.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars.
Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
In other words,
hold my hand.
In other words, darling, kiss me.
Fill my heart with song. Let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore.
In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
Everybody. Yeah, good shit. Now, this is so exciting. I love this next performer so much. It's almost, I don't know, it's almost not right how much I love her. She's so damn funny. We just did a weekend in Kansas City where we were performing together this weekend during the snowstorm, and we made it back just to be here for you guys, and also because she lives here. Let's hear it for the great Judy Gold, everybody. Judy Gold.
Thank you, Tom Papa. Isn't he wasn't that song amazing? That was awesome. Hi, band. How are you? You know, I've been doing stand-up comedy for 36 years. Thank you. And it's gotten worse and worse. It is hell at this point. And it's not even the fact that we can't say anything without insulting someone. I recently worked a gig. I have a house in Provincetown, Massachusetts, because I'm gay and it's in the rule book. And I was working there all summer. This is totally true. And I drove up for my first night at this theater, and I drove up in June, and we were having one of these horrible rainstorms. It was like deluging. I couldn't see out the window. It was horrible. It took hours and hours to get there. I get to the theater. I do my show. I had a great time. Next night, I go back to do my next show. And there is a note for me left in the box office. And I'd like to read the note to you. And if you have any idea, want to know what it's like to be a stand-up comedian, this will explain it all. Now, can you play, like, really dramatic, sad music in the back? I'm doing a dramatic reading. Okay. It's from the guest house this person was staying at, okay? And it's written in script. Dear Judy, my partner and I went to bed and woke up talking about your show last night. We have both seen you before, I have many times, and while we knew it was your first night in P-Town, we weren't prepared for you to scream at us and expect us to laugh at unfinished jokes. As a writer, get that a comic has several run-throughs before there's a finished / polished show... but we sure as hell arrow turnover would have appreciated it if you, underlined, would have appreciated us for getting out in the same shitty weather that you did and paid $40 a person to see you. At the conclusion of each of your jokes, you commented, "Nothing?" But what I think you were missing was that we kept waiting for the punchline. This is not meant to be mean. Just honest critique, because we like you. And then in bold lettering at the top, it says, BTW, it was my birthday. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Who the fuck writes a letter like this? Seriously. And doesn't sign it. Okay, I have no idea. I don't know if it's male, female. I don't know any. What do you think? What do you think? Female. Female, for sure, right? This is what I think. Oh, come on. My partner and I. Okay, first of all, I'm going to go with morbidly obese lesbian, okay? Never has sex with a partner if they're talking about my fucking show in bed, okay? And I'm going to go with Jewish because of the $40 a person thing. I'm sure that's very offensive, you know, because we can't say anything anymore. But what the fuck? I hate people. What is going on? It's horrible. Our world is falling apart, okay? Let me tell you what else I fucking hate, okay? Facebook. I am done with fucking Facebook. I cannot... First of all, you know what Facebook is? Munchausen syndrome. That's what it is. If I see another person lying in a hospital bed with an oxygen mask and tubes coming out, and they're like, wish me luck, thoughts and prayers, and then they don't write, what the fuck is wrong with them? Why are you there? Are you having a facelift, or do you have cancer? Fucking tell me what's going on! Like, where do people have time to? I don't have time to do anything. And these people write these posts. I want to let you know that I have many friends on Facebook. But I know some of you don't read my posts. I'm asking if you read through this entire thing, if you could leave me a word, a sentence, something that'll let me know how we met. Maybe a little secret joke we have together, anything. Yeah, how's this? Anal. How's that for a fucking word, okay? Like, what are you gonna do with that information? Like, it's so, and let me tell you something else. All my friends who are in the worst fucking relationships ever in the, of the, like, they're the ones that call me up are like, you know what? I've had it. I am done. This relationship is shit. You know what? The minute I have enough fucking money, I'm out of here. She's a fucking abusive bitch. And then, like, you know, 30 minutes later, I go on Facebook. Happy birthday to the love of my life. Thank you for 25 beautiful years together. I couldn't have... What is going on? I can't take it anymore. Okay, here's another thing that really fucking pissed me off, okay? This is my angry set, okay? By the way, I thought on the way here, I don't know, Tom, if you'd appreciate this, but if I ever become a drag king, you know, my drag king name is going to be Gerrymander, okay? And I'm going to tell everyone where they can sit, and you know what? And, like, you can't sit with your friends, and if you're handicapped, you have to, like, climb up the stairs and stuff like that. So, Gerrymander, you just wait. Show coming soon. So I recently read, okay, because you know you can't say anything anymore, that everyone gets insulted, you know, trigger warning! Okay, let me tell you something. What is a fucking trigger? Oh, this might hurt your feelings. I got up every day of my life and went to school and got called Bigfoot and Sasquatch, and I'm fine, okay? So here's your fucking trigger warning, okay? So speaking of the oversensitive crap that we're dealing with now, I recently read that PETA, you know, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, is now trying to change our vernacular. They're trying to change little, you know, like little sayings we have in the English language, you know? For instance, I'm not kidding. They came out with a shitload of these. Ready? They want to change kill two birds with one stone. Yes, to feed two birds with one scone, okay? I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. I'm not. And birds don't fucking eat scones, you asshole. They eat seeds. Okay? These are totally real. Totally real. I swear to God, I'm not making this up, okay? They want to change bring home the bacon to bring home the bagels. I'm not kidding. So apparently there's a Jew on the board of PETA or something. I don't know. They want to change take the bull by the horns to take the flower by the thorns. So with your bloody fucking hand. I mean, what the fuck is that? So I actually wrote one for them. I was like, all right, I get this. All right, so I think they should change hung like a horse to has a huge cock. What do you think? I can't take it anymore. I can't. It's just awful. All right, let me see the ring guy. I got to see the ring guy. You know what that is? You know, the ring on every finger. It's like when the women have the nails that come out to here, and I'm like, how do you wipe your ass? How do you pick your nose? You know, like, seriously. Do you sleep with all the rings on? You do not. Oh, he has a good voice. And this is the first date? Really? Did you have dinner? Who sits in a fucking front row at a comedy club on a first date? He's already got his hand on her. He already has his hand on her knee. I swear to God. They're going to fuck so hard tonight. I'm not kidding. He's hot with that voice and everything. All right, well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. You're going back to Australia? No one voted for Trump here. No one voted for him, okay? We all hate him. So just tell everyone there we all fucking hate his guts, okay? He's an asshole and he's dumb. I can't stand him. All right, anyway. Thank you guys so much. This has been so much fun. And enjoy the rest of the show. Good night, everybody.
Judy Gold, everybody. Judy Gold. Come on, a little more love for Judy Gold. You guys having a good time so far? Are you tired of wearing seven layers and still freezing your ass off? Are you looking for a fashion that will leave you warm all over? Then come on down to Grandma Gigi's Old Fur Coat Emporium. That's right. We have a trunk full of the warmest, most politically insensitive fur around. Grandma Gigi grew up before anybody cared about the well-being of animals. So her furs are insane.
Over the holidays that I nearly got the flu. But then a friend told me about Grandma Gigi's Old Fur Coat Emporium. I found a real full-length polar bear coat. And I felt bad at first, but then I figured that this bear had to have been killed in the 1930s, right?
That's right. All these furs come from a time when people were really shitty. They saw animals as clothing, rivers as toilets, and parks as their garbage cans.
So I don't have to feel bad about wearing it.
No, not at all. Back then, there were polar bears all over the place.
Okay, because now there's just that one floating around on an ice cube. It wouldn't be cool making that guy into a coat.
No, that's true. But back then, there were so many, it's like they had to make them into coats.
Slippers and I'll take it.
Great. At Grandma Gigi's Old Fur Coat Emporium, we have every horrible thing you could imagine.
Baby otter hats?
Got them.
Snakeskin boots?
Got them.
Alligator purses?
You betcha.
What about one of those weird scarves made out of an entire fox? You know, the ones where they didn't even bother to take its feet off?
Of course we have it. Do you want it with the face still on it?
Yeah, what the hell? Throw in a face.
Come on down to Grandma Gigi's Old Fur Coat Emporium. Just drive down old Highway 95 and turn right at the racially insensitive billboard.
See you next time, Gigi.
Grandma Gigi's Fur Coat Emporium. Grandma Gigi's accepts cash only. Women not allowed to enter without their husbands. Michelle Wolf, everybody. Michelle Wolf. You'll see her. She'll be right back. Another great way to maintain joy during these winter months is by staying active with your community. You got to get out and see each other. And a great way to maintain your sense of community is through correspondence. So now it's time for the Come to Papa mailbag with a little help from Judy Gold.
Thank you. So what, now I have to do a sketch?
Come on, it'll be fun.
You know, I'd have more fun if I got paid.
Okay, Rick, open the mailbag.
Mail, mail, mail. Okay, Tommy.
So gay.
Annoying.
Here's the first letter. Dear Tom, I really like your show.
Oh, God.
Nice.
Please.
Will you ever be bringing the show to Chicago?
That's a good question. We do tour the show around once in a while. We've been to a couple places. It's a little difficult to move this show because it's hard to get the comedians to come along.
Tom, if I could just interrupt for like 1 second. I have an idea on how you could get the comedians to travel with them, with you.
All right.
Pay them. Like money.
Just to be clear, everybody, the comedians all get paid.
Yes.
They all get paid.
A basket of fucking fries and a chicken wings. And then he told us we're furloughed this week. What a fucking asshole.
Times are tough. Next letter, Rick. Yeah.
Okay, Tom, I love when you have Judy on.
Aha!
Finally! Finally! Someone with a little sense.
You two are really good together. Were you lovers at one time?
No.
Yes.
Okay, next letter.
Yeah, he is actually what made me a lesbian.
All right, now that's a joke, but...
Well, that ring on your finger really hurt. Go ahead, sorry.
I do feel like I could make you not change from being a lesbian, but... Have you ever been with a guy like since when you were young, but when you went forth into Lesbania, into the hither lands, did you ever come back at all? Ever slip?
No.
Drunk,
ew.
Nothing?
No.
No. Would you?
No.
Me.
Maybe.
I know it's
after you
to be
transition,
like,
maybe if after.
He's got boobs now.
Only straight guys. That's good, Rick. Only straight guys ask me that question. You know.
Yeah. Well, no, because they think like you think as a guy, you think everybody wants you all the time.
I know. Not true.
No. And it's funny because as I'm getting older, like I was at Starbucks and the girl like serving the barista. She was like probably 20,
yeah,
and just so cute, and she just like, you know, made a thing, and I was just sitting there, got my thing from her, and I'm sitting at the little counter half thing thinking, wow, she really liked me. That was pretty cool. And I caught myself in the mirror and I had like a wool hat that looked like a gnome, like, and I'm unshaven, like gray splotches, I'm like a pumpkin with rotting teeth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I still at this point think maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's a guy for you. Donald Trump included.
But
okay.
But I honestly, not just as a pure sexual thing, but because we love each other.
Yes.
I think it could happen. But I don't know if you'd be repulsed. I think you'd enjoy
it. Well, I think you just answered that question with that fucking hat and just, like, beard situation.
No, I'm talking about love.
Oh, right.
All right.
The audience feels it, too.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Next letter.
Okay. Tom, I love the diversity you have on the show. Especially when you seem to use more women than men. Do you do that intentionally, or are you just an amazing guy?
First of all, Tom is the whitest guy I know. His idea of diversity is anyone darker than Conan O'Brien.
I think this person has a great point. Not that I try and book it that way. It just kind of happens. Is there anything else in that letter?
Yes, they go on to say, Tom, you are so very funny yourself. I know it's radio. I know it's a radio show, but you sound very handsome.
Okay, you're pathetic. Now you're writing letters to yourself?
Well, I do write the script.
Okay, last one.
I'm leaving. I can't.
Wait, Judy. Just picture this. We were in Kansas City. If it had snowed the day we were supposed to leave, and we're both stuck there, it was a storm. The hotel's abandoned. You and I just sitting there watching the snow fall.
Right.
A couple glasses of wine. And I just reach across. I'm actually answering my own question.
Yeah.
I'm writing it so well that
it's really good.
That this is really... I reach across and just stroke your face.
Yeah.
What happens next?
I ask you to pull out my chin hair.
And then I masturbate. Judy Gold, everybody. That was Mailbag.
Mail, mail, mail.
And now, I'm very excited. This is his first time on Come to Papa. Very excited to have him on our show. Everybody loves him. Rami Youssef, everybody. Rami!
What's up, everybody? It's so festive here tonight with the music and stuff. It feels like winter properly. I really love it. Because I live in L.A. Anyone else from the West Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah? How do you deal with this? The weather, man.
It's been 10 days.
10 days. Terrible, right? It's so emotional. Like, it was raining. We don't even have rain. That's the thing, like, that's the thing that hits you when you come here. It's not even the cold. It's like, it doesn't even rain in L.A. Like, I forgot how much rain makes me want to have a girlfriend. You know, like, usually I don't want to be with anyone. I'm like, no, I got to figure out my career. Like, I just got to get everything right. I got to learn how to love myself before I can love someone else. And then it starts to rain, and I'm just like, where is she? Like, I miss her, you know? Like, there's just those moments, like, you want someone. It's like rain, snow. It's like, come on, let's watch Netflix. Or like, after, like, a mass shooting or something, you know? You know that, like, that post-massacre cuddle? Like, you just... Like, you don't want to talk about gun control. You just want to hold somebody. And Wolf Blitzer's, like, 40 bodies. And you're like, yeah, but I have your body. You know? And then you get, like, Froyo and shit. You can't get Froyo if you're single, I'm telling you. It doesn't... You ever try, it comes out all watery. I'm telling you, that's because you're alone. There's like a guy back there. He's like, nah, you're not cute enough. You can't do this. I want somebody to... I need someone to watch the news with, man. It's too much. I'm Muslim, like from the news. And you guys seen our show? Man, I don't know. All this stuff is scary. I've been watching the R. Kelly documentary. You guys seeing this? It's not good. It's horrifying. And I just don't like news stories in general. Because crazy shit will always happen. And then they'll blame it on Muslims. And I keep watching this documentary. I feel like I gotta watch every episode. Because I'm just like waiting for them to like find the Quran. Like, they're just gonna open up his music studio and like a bunch of girls in scarves are gonna come out. And they're gonna be like, it was Islam. I'd be like, fuck. R. Kelly, too? I, like, want someone to watch that with, man. It's like, I've been thinking back. I'm like, man, why? Like, I wanna be in a relationship. I don't know how sometimes. I think part of it is the way I grew up. I grew up in a Muslim family. We didn't talk about sex, it just like didn't come up. Anybody, any Muslims here? Yeah? Did you guys talk about sex?
Never.
Never, right? This doesn't happen. My dad's from Egypt. Like, he gave us, like, one sex talk. I say us because my sister and I got it at the same exact time. Like, my dad just wanted to get it out of the way, like, real quick. Like, he just sat us down, and he was just like, girls, no boys, boys, no boys. Like, that's the talk. There's no, like, this is what you do, this is, like, what happens, like, nothing. Nothing, that's it. And so we, like, man, we grew up confused. I thought I was the only one who was confused. But then, like, the last couple of years, I'm, like, seeing what's happening in the country. I think we're all confused. Like, I don't think we know what sex is, like, as a country. Like, nobody knows what you can do. And you see it because, like, a story comes out. Half the country's like, that's assault. The other half is like, fuck, that's how we met. You can't do that? What? And then there's, like, a bunch of dudes who are like, can we even hug anymore? And it's like, well, not you. Like, no one was talking about hugs. Like, some crazy shit's going on. And you know that dude's like, oh, I can't even hug. And it's like, no, you're on a list. That's a creepy question. I believe all the women who've come forward and said that something's happened to them. Yeah. They have no reason to lie. Like, you don't get money. You don't get rich. You don't get famous. None of it. And also, like, men are bad. Like, we're not good. Like, every dude knows. Like, every guy in here knows deep down that they're a piece of shit. Like, every guy, like, you could be, like, the cool, like, you call your grandma every day. The second you hang up, you go back to the darkness of just being a guy. Like, I can sexualize anything, any situation, just somehow. Like, oh, yeah, like that's just how it works. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine when the Weinstein stuff first happened. She was like, all this non-consensual stuff, it's been going on for so long, but now everybody's talking about it. And I was like, yeah, we got to talk about it. Let's talk about it. Like, do you want to, like come over later? Like, maybe we could talk about it? You know, because I feel like if we have consensual sex, like, that's how we fight back. You know, because change happens on a local level, and, like, that's the only way they'll know. Like, if we fuck, Trump gets mad. Like, it's not good. No, I'm trying to stop, like, anything aggressive. Like, I'm not liking any women's photos online after 10 p.m. After 10 p.m., like, you're liking a woman's picture at 2:30 in the morning? Like, what's that about? It's not about her trip to Mexico. No, it's something else, and it's aggressive. I don't like it. If I see something I like late at night now, I save the link, I go back in the morning. No, 10 a.m., that's a real like. It's just like, hey, this is good content. Thank you. Keep posting. Like, that's the energy that I want to put out there. Because we got a crazy dude. The energy's all weird. The president's bad. Whatever. Like, we all know. But I think he's an accurate representative of who we are. I don't like it, but it's pretty spot on. Like, we have a sex problem. He has one. He's racist. We're racist. I have, like, my little things that I'm like, yeah, no, I'm being racist here. Like, it's small. And then I think about it, and I'm like, wow. Like, I get very upset every time I get a white Uber driver. Like, I look at my phone, I see the little white face, and I'm like, fuck, like, I'm going to be late. Like, there's no way this guy's going to get me that he's going to stop at every stop sign. He's going to make me listen to his band. Like, it's like... Like, I just don't like it. Like, I need an Omar, I need a Muhammad, I need someone who's running from their country. That's Uber. You know, it's like, get in, we don't have the paperwork, let's just go. Like from the second I get in to when we arrive, I want to hear someone talk to their whole family. Like, that's how I know I'm safe. You know, that's like an emotional seatbelt, you know? Like, I need that. But it's racist. It is, and I don't know if everyone who voted for the dude's racist. The thing is, I kind of get it. Like, I know we say Trump, everyone's like, boo, but someone here voted for him, and I get it. Like, I don't agree. I don't think Donald Trump's a good person, you know, but I don't even really think that he's a person. That's what I would argue. Like, I don't think Donald Trump is a human being. That's why it doesn't make sense. You're like, how could a person do that? Here's the thing. He's not a person. Like, Donald Trump is a feeling. It's just like a thing you feel. Like, we've all felt Trump. You know, it's just like that emotion that hits you, like when your phone dies at 2 p.m., like your iPhone that you paid all this money for dies in the middle of the day, and you're just like, ah, fuck China. Like, you just want to go to war, you know what I mean? Like it's just like that, that's what that is. He's a man, not like, he's really more of a mood. He really is. Like, and it's so funny. People didn't want to elect a woman. They're like, oh, she'll get her period. And then it's like, wait, we elected a period. Like, that's what he is. But I think people are upset, man. I really like where white guilt is at right now. Like, I do. Like, people are really guilty. I think it's cool. I want it to get even guiltier. Like, you ever see one of those drug recall commercials? Where they're like, hey, you took this drug and it's harmful, we owe you money. Like, I want white guilt to get to the point where my life gets recalled. Like, turn on the TV in a couple of years, see a guy in a suit, and you're just like, hi, were you Muslim between 2001 and 2025? If so, we may owe you a huge cash settlement. Were you black ever at any point? Like, here's all the money. We'll figure it out, probably. I don't know. Hey, guys, thanks for letting me talk. Give it up for Tom. Thank you. Thank you.
Rami Youssef, everybody. Give him a big round of applause.
Rami was brought to you by the new consensual sex app, Binder. You want to have sex? She wants to have sex. But how will you prove that in a court of law? Well, now, there's Binder. Before you whip it out of your pants, whip out your phone, open the app, and you both sign a legally binding document that says you were both into it. Binder. Because nowadays, you need more protection than a condom.
I really believe if you want to be happy during the winter, you've got to eat, and you've got to eat a lot. And maybe it comes from being Italian. I was raised Italian, and we didn't express ourselves any other way than just eating. I still don't know what my father did for a living. I don't know if my mother really loved us. It was just, shut up, eat this. And it makes you very happy and warm inside. And at this point, you know, what are you trying to prove? You know what I mean? You're all fine. Like, what, are you going to lose 3.5 pounds starving yourself? And no one's ever going to know. No one's ever going to know. So why do it? Why? A little extra on your stomach? No one's putting you in a magazine with your clothes off. It's not happening. I can only see some of you, and I can guarantee all of you, nobody's being asked. Unless someone comes up with Kind of Chunky Weekly, no magazine is putting us in it. So enjoy your life and eat a lot. And I'm going to bring back Olivia. She's going to sing a song. This was Doris Day actually covered this song. It's called Tacos, Enchiladas, and Beans. So please welcome back Olivia Vessel, everybody.
This is a lovely song by Doris Day. For more, you can have the fourth position on my list. Must admit, your kisses would be missed. But how in the world could I exist without tacos, enchiladas, and beans? Love them, dozens of them. I consume them by the score. And when I'm through, what do? I stamp and holler for more. You can have the fourth position on my list.
Castle, everybody. It's amazing. Great job. You're a beautiful person. And what's even more amazing is that we live in a country where actually you could have had a hit song called Tacos, Enchiladas, and Beans. And now for R. Kelly documentaries. Hey, we have our final comedian coming up right now. I love her so much. She inspires me in so many ways. Please welcome Michelle Wolf, everybody. Michelle Wolf.
So nice. I always feel like I should dress better when I see Tom, but I don't. I don't dress better at all. Well, I'm not. I don't think society's doing too good. I think we might be broken. I blame social media. I hate social media. I'm on it all the time. Like you can follow someone on social media, Twitter, Instagram. You follow them because you think they're funny, or like you like the pictures they post, or they say interesting things. And then they post one thing you disagree with, and you're immediately like, burn her today. You know, you don't even look to see if anything's true. You just read it, you're like, she must die. Pick up your stones. And like it happened to me. I saw otters in real life, which was very exciting for me. Yeah, a couple otter fans. And I post about it on Instagram because that's how you prove that life happens. And this woman responds to me. She was like, you know, I used to love otters too. But then my husband told me that otters rape baby seals. I just thought you should know. Okay, couple things. What's going on in your marriage? How is that where you're at conversationally? He wanted to ruin otters for you. He had to look up that fact. It's true. But he had to look that up. They're not just saying that on planet Earth. That's a deep dive. I can picture exactly what happened. Deep dive. What otters do to the seals. Sorry. I just thought of that, and I wanted to get it in my recording. No, it's like, I can picture exactly what happened. He was like, you want to have sex? And she was like, not now. I'm looking at otters. And he was like, not for long. This has happened before. And like she said this to me because she thought she knew me, you know? She follows me. She's probably a fan of mine. And she's like, I know you. And I know once you hear this fact about otters, you will change your tune. You'll be on the right side of history. Otters rape baby seals. I thought you should know. You don't know me. Maybe that's why I like otters. Maybe I think seals have been getting away with too much for too long. With their weird boneless bodies. Plus, stop saying rape. They're animals. No animals are having sex with consent. What weird fairy tale animal sex happens in your head? How do you think your labradoodle was made? Want to make a new animal? And yeah, an otter seal hybrid, the cutest animal in the world. I don't care how that happens. I will hold the seal down. And people don't even care because seals are cute. If I was up here and be like, otters rape rats, you'd be like, good, about time. You don't have. Stop you're too woke. Go back to sleep a little. It's not like I was posting pictures of Kim Jong-un being like, he seems like a fun guy. Which, if you only look at pictures of Kim Jong-un, he does seem like a fun guy. That stupid smile, every day looks like the first day at Disneyland. I know, I see those pictures and I'm like, maybe I should feed my family to dogs. Seems like he's having a great day. Share every single opinion you have doesn't mean you need to. You can keep some things to yourself, or if you really need to get it out there, put it in a blog. Because we all know what a blog is, right? A blog is a conversation no one wanted to have with you. Not even your computer. Your whole time you're typing it, your computer is like, I hope I die. I hate that. The only way blogs are even important is because you find the 30,000 other people in the entire world who were like, this is interesting. You know, blogs are a genius invention, I'm guessing, by a husband who just couldn't do it anymore. He was like, no, don't waste this one on me. Now you can tell the world. I know men and women aren't getting along too good right now, or ever, I guess. I don't think we really ever got along well. I think it's better now. I think this is actually the best it's ever been, which is saying a lot. You know, your dad used to just be able to, like, sell you for, you know, and also, like, have to throw in, like, some sheep and land. You know, that's how you used to get married. They'd be like, well, not just her, there should be money. I can't just take her. I need the money, too, because she's bad. You know, but, yeah, I mean, like, I want women to be in charge. I want us to be in charge of stuff. But then I think about some of the things I do, and I'm like, that we shouldn't be in charge. Like, I am always cold. I'm always freezing cold. And that doesn't say presidential. That says sickly boy king. You know, that's like, you don't want someone in a cabinet meeting talking about taxes and then being like, and also, if I could get a blanket just for my legs. Also, women, we tend to be tattletales. Instead of handling a problem on our own, we'll be a tattletale. This is mostly for white women. We'll see someone and be like, you're going to regret this. Hello, police. Yes, no, hurry, he's barbecuing. His whole family. You know, if you were really in charge, you'd take care of it yourself, or you'd realize that's not a problem. You know, the worst thing we do, and I thought this was a stereotype until the words came out of my own mouth. I wanted to go to a bar, and the guy I was dating didn't want to go. And he goes, but I'll go if you want me to go. And I go, no, I want you to want to go. And that just means I'm the shittiest person in the world. This guy is saying, I care enough about you to go even though I don't want to. And I was saying, no, not good enough. I'm gonna need your opinions to change to reflect mine. And guess what? Those are flexible, so stay on your toes, buddy. You don't want that person making decisions? What if I was in charge when they were figuring out gay marriage? And someone was finally like, I mean, I guess, yeah, if they want to get married, they can. And I'd be like, no, gay marriage is off the table until you want them to want to get married. Because men don't do that. A guy will ask you to go to something dumb he likes, like a wrestling match, and you'll be like, yeah, if you want me to. He'd be like, I don't fucking care. I just asked to avoid a fight later. And if you go, I swear to God, if you complain once, I'll throw you into the ring. I know. Anyway, we broke up. You guys think moms want to know how their son's penis turned out? I know, sharp turn. I just think she put a lot of effort into that and then she never got to see what grade she got. Think about it. The first time you even know you're having a boy is when someone points out his penis on a sonogram. I mean, hopefully it's a doctor, but anyone could do it. You know, some weird guy that's just really good at spotting baby penis. You know, maybe warn people about him. You know, and then you see it on the sonogram, and you're like, I'm going to show so many people. And then you grow the penis for a while, which is very nice of you. And then you have the baby, and you make sure the penis is safe and clean for a couple years. And then you just never get to see how the movie ends. Should show your mom your penis. I think you guys are out there showing your penis to people who don't want to see it. Show it to the one person who really wants to see it. Your mommy. And then she'll be like, oh, I thought I would have done better. I don't have long arms. All right, thanks a lot, guys. I'm gonna show.
Michelle Wolf, everybody. Michelle Wolf. Holy cow, that was funny. Did you guys have a good time? Well, we're now going to send you back out into the cold, hard, hard winter. Yeah, it's going to be rough out there. Ooh, listen to that. Ooh. Sounds more Halloween-y. But we want to thank you for coming. We want to thank you for being here. And I'm serious when I say that you should be enjoying the hell out of it. Don't feel like this is the time to dial in and be a new you. How about you celebrate the you that kept yourself alive last year? How about that? Yeah, good job, everybody. You're all alive. No one here is dead. And go out, enjoy yourself, and love each other. And we're going to end with a great love song called That's Amore, which is...
which everybody likes to sing along to.
Yeah.
Which hopefully.
If you know the words, you can sing along. And I have a bottle of cheap Comedy Cellar wine, and I think we should just pass it around. All right.
Is that a D7 there? Okay, there you go.
Is that right? I hate D7s.
No, they're good. They're good.
I love D7s.
All right, then.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's a boring. Shine like you've had too much wine. That's a boring.
That's a boring.
Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you sing me the ballad. I shall play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a gay tarantella.
Pass it to the back.
When the stars make you drool just like Buzz Doppelzool, that's a boring. You're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, I can hold up, believe that's amore.
Everybody sing!
Excuse me, but you see, I can hold up.
Judy Gold, Michelle Wolf, Rami Youssef, Olivia Vessel, the Come the Papa Trio, and our announcer, Rick Crowe.